Well, today we wrap up our three-part series on the book of Jonah. And if you remember, Jonah's that story about the reluctant prophet, right, who's given a call, a message from God to share with Nineveh, and he runs the other way. God rescues him, brings him back, and he preaches a message of repentance, and the city repents. Now, many folks, people probably figure Jonah's story ends there, or maybe even just ends with the whole whale part, right? He spewed back on land. The whale said, "I'm done with you." He's safe. He says, "Thank you, God," and story's over. But actually, perhaps the most important part of Jonah's tale is here in chapter 4. Probably a chapter most of us really haven't read before. So we're going to pick it up today as we conclude. It tells us now, just reminding us of what has just taken place, the end of chapter 3, when God saw what they did, the city of Nineveh, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. And you could just end the story there, but it goes on. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. He said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, just take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" But then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself. Think tent here. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. At this point, the Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. He said, "Oh, it is better for me to die than live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." And then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" End of story. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almost have to say it was the question mark, don't we? Really? That's the end of the story? That's it? That's how Jonah ends? With a question? Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those tales where you sort of get to the end and you're like, wait a minute, where's chapter 5? Shouldn't there be a nice wrap-up here? Where's the happy ending? Where's the resolution, God? Do you and Jonah make up? Or, I mean, what happens here, right? Again, it's sort of comical and ironic and strange, right? We're just left hanging. And like any story with a cliffhanger, there's a tension created here that we all have to wonder, what do we do with this story? What do we do with God's question to Jonah? What do we do with Jonah's anger? Well, that's what we're going to unpack. And it seems to me there's a few key things to pay attention to throughout this last chapter. The first, of course, Jonah's anger. Now, if we look back to chapter 1, if we think back, 2 weeks long ago, right? Jonah received the call from God, and he ran the other way. And at first, our only inclination to understand why was perhaps fear, right? Maybe Jonah was just afraid of the Assyrian Empire, afraid of their wickedness and their cruelty. And so, rather than follow God's dangerous call, he goes the other way. But here, we get to hear that there's a conversation that's been going on between Jonah and God. We just didn't get to hear it before, right? When he says, oh, yep, see, Lord, this is it. This is why I ran, see? Because I knew you were going to do something weird like this. I knew you were going to do something ridiculous and scandalous and offensive to my sense of you, God. This is, how does he say it? Oh Lord, is not this what I said? While I was still in my own country, there's been this conversation going on. That's why I ran away, God, because I knew you are crazy. You are crazy, God. That's essentially my paraphrase of it. And what he says is actually Jonah mocking Scripture. He's mocking Exodus 36. It's a straight quote where he just says, oh, Lord, yeah, I knew you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. He knows his Bible. He's a prophet of God. He knows the promises of God. And now he's mocking God for it, saying, yeah, I know this is who you are, God, and this is why I can't trust you. I can't trust you to do the right thing here. Those Ninevites don't deserve this. Those Ninevites are awful. They're wicked. They're nasty. They're our enemies, God. What are you doing forgiving them? It's not fair, right? Ultimately, that's Jonah's beef. That's why he's so angry. Because it's not fair. The Hebrew word that talks about Jonah's anger here in the passage, one way that it gets translated in other parts of the scriptures is about a burning. There's like this deep fire within his gut about this. He is steamed. So angry that God would do such a thing. It's not fair. God, how could you? How could you, God? It's not fair. And it isn't, right? It isn't fair. The Ninevites don't deserve grace. They don't deserve mercy. They've been wicked. Their history is clear. They actually reveled in it. The historical record is full of tales that they themselves charted down about their wickedness, their cruelty. So it would seem right and good that God's justice would reign here and that Nineveh would be wiped out. But then there's that phrase, God is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. See, Jonah's okay as long as that applies to God and him, right? But it's not fair if it applies to somebody else. Especially if it applies to my enemy, to the ones I despise, to the ones I fear. And God, I'm all for grace for me and my people, but for them? Lord, that's not fair. Of course, that's the tension of Jonah's story and the tension for us. Who is your enemy? Who are the people you fear or despise? Now, I know none of us perhaps have some mortal enemy ready to come and conquer our lands. It's a different time, but maybe there's somebody that comes to mind. Maybe it's a coworker who has been mistreating you for decades. Maybe it's a family member who has wronged you. I don't know. Who is your enemy these days? And how would you feel if God's grace were extended to them? That's where Jonah's at. He just can't fathom it. It's just not fair. And, oh, isn't that the good news? Grace isn't fair. That's why it's grace. It is undeserved, unmerited. And that's what Jonah's story has been all about. That's where the irony is so thick. Because, of course, Jonah seems to have forgotten he was disobedient to the God of the universe. He was the one who had a clear calling on his life, and instead of obedience, instead of following in God's footsteps in the ways he called him to, he ran the other way. Seems like there's a right punishment for that sort of thing. You're going to disobey God. And instead of punishment, what does he receive? Well, a 3-day journey in a fish, and then salvation, right? Instead of death in the deep, he's rescued. He didn't deserve that. He didn't earn that, that's for sure. It's just God's goodness. The God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love that he's mocking right now, he seems to have forgotten how that has applied to his life too. But, well, we all get a little forgetful for these things, don't we? It isn't fair. Grace isn't fair, and that's why some find it so hard to believe. There was a song a few years ago by a Christian worship group called Hillsong. It's called The Scandal of Grace. And what it lays out is indeed that grace is scandalous. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have some logic to it other than that line from Exodus. God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It is nothing we do that makes God love us and forgive us. It is all about who God is. That's grace. And we're all for grace when it applies to us, and not so sure about grace when it applies to someone else. Jesus kept dealing with this, kept trying to unpack this for people in his time with us. He told parable after parable to try and help the local religious types get it. There was that one about the unmerciful servant. You remember that one? Servant who has this master who he owes essentially what would be something like millions of dollars in debt to the master. And the master comes and says, you know what? I'm feeling generous today. I forgive your debt. You are free of it. Salvation, redemption, freedom, woohoo! And the merciful, the servant goes, woo, amazing, thank you, you're so awesome. And then he goes out and he finds one of his colleagues, another servant, who owes him just a few dollars. And he berates him and he beats him and he throws him in prison. He says, until you can pay me, this is what you get. And the master gets word of it and says, you wicked, wicked servant. Didn't I just grant you great mercy? And yet you would have none of it for your fellow servant? It's Jonah's story. It's what Jesus keeps trying to unpack for people. There's the one about the workers in the vineyard who are hired at different times of the day, and then at the end they're all paid the same wage, a generous day's worth wage, and there is this indignancy from the ones hired first. This isn't fair! God says, I get to do what I get to do. I will be generous to whom I will be generous. And you've received, and they've received. Can't you celebrate that? Oh, nope. It's good when it's for me, God, but I'm not so sure when it's for someone else. And of course, the prime example of this struggle is the parable of the prodigal son, right? The impetuous, disobedient youngest brother who runs off, squanders it all, and then comes back humbly, sheepishly, and the father celebrates. Father welcomes him back. The father throws a party. But who's not so happy about it? The older brother, right? Why? Because it's not fair. That's right. Grace isn't fair. Thank goodness. If it were fair, if it were because of what we'd worked and earned and deserved, oh, friends, we would all be in a lot of trouble. Because we can't be good enough to deserve God's forgiveness and mercy. We can't. Jonah certainly wasn't. We certainly aren't. We might think of ourselves as pretty good people, but that's just a silly game we play about I'm better than so-and-so. Well, God's standard is not so-and-so. God's standard's up here, and we live down here in our pettiness and our selfishness and our greed and our anger and our lust and all these things. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. But that's who God is. And God says, I will give it to you anyway. Can't we celebrate that and rejoice, even if it's for our enemies? Well, Jonah can't, right? He's steamed. His anger burns. And he goes to sit outside the city, perhaps to see if maybe this is all a fluke, and God will rain destruction upon Nineveh at some point. And he sets up his tent and waits, right? And then the bush grows up, grants him shade. And isn't this ridiculous? This is the comedy of the story again. It says, not just, oh, what a nice bush, what great shade I had. It says, he was very happy about the shade. He can't be happy about 120,000 people turning from their evil ways, but oh, he's going to be happy about shade for himself. Well, limited perspective. Selfish and closed off heart. That's Jonah. And then the bush withers, and now he's steamed again. Where did my shade go? Right? Now, all of you are thankful for shade right now over here, right? Yeah. You're like, sun, thank you for, you're shifting, right? Yeah. Jonah was steamed. Where did his shade go? How could this happen to him? As if somehow he deserved the shade. As if somehow he earned the bush growing up over him. And this is where God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, dealing with Jonah the toddler, right? If you've had toddlers, right, 2-3-year-olds, who throw tantrums and fits, right? It's not fair! Stamp their feet. Wah! It's Jonah. Jonah acting like a 2-year-old. It's not fair, God. Where did my shade go? And God is gentle, right? Instead of a rebuke, God just asks the question again. Jonah, really? Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry about this? Jonah, you had nothing to do with this. I gave it to you freely. I did it all, just like I've done for your whole life. It's all been a gift. Grace. Celebrate it and then extend it to someone else, for goodness sake. It's not for you to hold on to selfishly. And that, to me, is why the story ends with the question. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Shouldn't I, God, be concerned about 120,000 people and their animals? Shouldn't that be something a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love care about? And shouldn't you, Jonah? Shouldn't we? I know it's a stretch to imagine grace for our enemies, to imagine God's mercy and love gets extended to those we don't like. And God's question to us is, will we extend grace and mercy too? Will we be the elder brother sitting on the outside of the party going, it's not fair? Even though he'd received everything from the Father. Or will we join the party with all who have been invited and say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And you gave it to me anyway. And I will try and be excited about grace for my enemy too. I know that's a big step. But that's God's call on our life. That's what Jesus was trying to get to with his disciples and with each of us, to say, will you extend grace as I extend grace? Will you be like me, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love? That's who we're being called to become, friends. Will we? Gracious God, thank you for your patience for each one of us. We know, Lord, your mercy is something we don't deserve, but it is your nature, your goodness that flows, and so we are grateful. And Lord, we would pray that you would be doing a work on our own hearts, just as you were working on Jonah's heart. That we too would be people who would exhibit grace and mercy, would abound in love, not anger, not judgment. Lord, may your Spirit enable us to live that way, we ask this day. In Jesus' name, amen.